All right, all right. Who's excited to be at church this weekend? Come on, Faith Promise. Come on now. All right, let's all just be adults about this. At all of our campuses across the state of Tennessee, who knew that it was time change weekend? Okay, nobody told me. Thanks a lot. You all knew, and I just woke up and said, gosh, I'm so sleepy. I didn't know, okay? Either way, thank you, Lord, for Apple Watch. But I hope you were excited about Easter and everything that God is doing. I know it feels like Easter is far away, but it's our favorite holiday. You know, whenever some of you guys are putting Christmas lights up in daggum, you know, July, right? You barely took them down before you're putting them back up. And we believe that Easter is the greatest holiday, the greatest day that we get to celebrate. And so I hope you're getting excited. I hope you're doing the work now of building relationships to invite people. But I'm excited for today, and I'm most excited about what God's going to do in and through us as we go out this week and we win the world around us. I don't want us to forget or get used to the vision that God has given our church, that we exist to win the world by equipping Christ followers, that's you and me, to win our world, starting with 1% of the state of Tennessee. Hey, and if you're looking for your first step towards winning your world, your first step towards being equipped to do that, next steps is the way to go. If you've never been a part of that, no matter where you are in your journey with Jesus, whether you feel like you have it all together or you're just trying to figure it out, your purpose is our passion. So join us for next steps. Let's walk this life, win our world together. I want us to take a moment and just pray. Today, God's going to save people. Today, people have already been saved. Can we just celebrate that? People have been saved today already. Is that not amazing that God would allow us to be a part? Not just will people be saved today, people will be sent today. No one should be the same after being in God's presence. We come into church, we put our phones away, and we sit, and we block out everything, we get into God's presence, and we should be different after being in God's presence. Can we take a moment and pray and just give this time to Him and ask Him to change whatever He wants to change about us? God, we come before You right now in a posture of humility. And I could even feel when I said that. God, You change whatever You want about us. That is so on point. The nervousness, the tension that creates in our hearts is so on point for the word that You have for us today. So we want to humble ourselves. Whatever You have to say, we will obey, because You are God and we are not. So whatever You have to say, we will obey, because it is in Your name, not ours, not Faith Promises, but it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So welcome to Faith Promise. We are thrilled that you're here. If you're live at a campus, if you're somewhere around the nation watching us online, joining us online, if you're online, put in the chat what coffee you're drinking, or if you're still in your pajamas, or wherever you're watching from. God behind bars, we are so excited to be having church together right now. Now, we're in a series called What's Your Tomb? Where we're asking ourselves some questions, like this weekend, what beliefs in my life are keeping me from all the life that God has for me? What beliefs in my life are keeping me from all the life that God has for me? Now, maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but Jesus lays out very clearly what the enemy, the devil's plan for your life is, and what Jesus' plan for your life is. In John 10:10, Jesus says this: the thief, that's the devil, comes only to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's to put you in a tomb. But Jesus said, I have come that they, that's me and you, may have life and have it to the full, have it abundantly. That is, walk out in freedom, not just when you get saved, but every day, walk in freedom. Jesus says it, right? So that's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. That's right. Listen, the enemy's plan for your life is for you to be in a tomb, even if you've been given the gift of life from Jesus, right? We all know people who they have talents or they have gifts that go unused. That's what the enemy would like for your life to be spiritually. A great example is what Dad preached about last week in unforgiveness. So many Christians have been given the gift of life and we've been given the gift of forgiveness, But every day we live in a tomb of unforgiveness where we don't forgive people. If you missed last week's message, or maybe it's such an unforgiveness is something the enemy tries to trap you with, watch that in your quiet time this week on our YouTube channel. Check that out. Let it be a part of your freedom. Now you may say, Pastor, I think I would know if I was living in a tomb, right? Because this week we're going to keep on checking our surroundings to see if we find ourselves in a tomb. And you may think, well, I would know. Well, I'm not so sure that we would. Now, I was just thinking, I'm not sure that a goldfish knows it's living in a fishbowl. I think that it just thinks that that's how life is, that that's how water is, that this is just how big the world is. It's just how it is. I mean, honestly, if you think about it, I'm not a goldfish rights activist or anything like that, right? But, I mean, it's kind of sad. You think about a fish that could swim in a big, giant ocean, yet it's contained to this tiny fishbowl that will, at some point, become its tomb. And I believe many believers are living in a fishbowl created by the devil, by the enemy, with lies, fears, failures, things from our past that we have believed, and we need God to break the fishbowl that we find ourselves in, the tomb that we find ourselves in, before it becomes the tomb of our eternal purpose, the tomb for all that God has for our lives. We do not want to flush that down the toilet. Listen, there's a tomb that the devil has been perfecting for literally thousands and thousands of years. Since God created mankind, the devil has been hewing this tomb and putting us in it if we will let him. And just like most tombs, the devil sets it up in the form of a doubt-inducing question. And it is the tomb of what is truth? The tomb of what is truth? Do you feel how big of a deal that is in our world right now? The world is trying to normalize. The media and conversations and our feelings are trying to normalize that we get to define our own truth. And listen, it may sound good. It may even feel good. No matter where you're at, if you're a Christian or if you don't believe in Jesus yet, it may sound good that we get to define our own truth. But really, whenever you dig past the momentary feelings, no one, and I mean no one, Christian or not, really wants for everyone to get to define their own truth. That's where lives and families and countries fall apart. When we, mankind, men and women, start to define our own truth or what truth is. This is actually such a big deal in our culture. I've actually been using it as a way to share the hope of Jesus. When I'm sitting by people on planes or people I have relationships with, I'm asking about truth and about values and about how we get this and why you feel that way. Let me give you a very near and dear example to my heart. Rach and I had a couple over for dinner who we really care about. And in this couple, there's a transgender female, which means that he was born a biological male, but now identifies as a woman, identifies as a female. We had them over for dinner because there are things that matter more than your preference and you feel uncomfortable. Me too. There's things that matter more than that. So we have them over for dinner. We're talking. We're hanging out. Our kids are at the table. We're chatting. We have dinner. Our kids go up to play. And we're just talking. And if I'm honest, I'm looking for an opportunity to bring this conversation just around Jesus, just to get the vibes, to see how they respond to it. And listen, can I just be honest? This is coming from a preacher. The best way to bring Jesus into a conversation is not through a sermon or an accusation. Coming from the guy that preaches every week, that's not the way to get him into conversations. So I just start by asking about what they believe and what they think and how they feel. And they happen to be, the transgender female happened to be what's called a universalist Unitarian, which is a religion, and just simply really means that all roads really kind of lead to heaven. All kind of that word cosmic stardust, we're all kind of going this same direction, whether you're a Jewish or Christian or Muslim or Buddhist or whatever, we're all just kind of going the same direction. Or a whole religion built around the lie or the tomb of what is your truth. That people get to define their own truth. And just a sidebar, I'm sitting at the table and I'm talking to this person right here, and Rachel's at the other end of the table, and I can feel her like boring a hole in the side of my head with her eyeballs, right? Just right. And that's why I didn't sit next to her, so she couldn't fork me under the table, right? I have scars. I've had to throw jeans away. I'm just joking. But she is, Zach, don't preach, which I can do on accident, right? But I did good. And I'm asking questions. And so she's talking about the universalist, Unitarian situation. And so I just said, so everybody's right. Is that kind of what you're saying? That everybody's right. We're all kind of going the same way. You're right. I'm right. Muslims right. Jewish right. Is that right? And they said, the couple said, yeah, that's what they think is going on. And I said, well, I need you to help me. I need you to help me understand something. Help me wrap my head around something. If everyone gets to decide what's truth, there are some people out there who I don't agree with, but there are some people out there that don't think that you should get to go out in public because of how you dress or because of what you're doing to your body. There are some people out there that think you shouldn't even get to live because of the values that you hold and what you're doing and how you're dressing. I do not believe that that is what should happen to you. I'm glad you're at my dinner table. I love you. We disagree on some things, but I love you and I care about you. But those people that think that you shouldn't live, those people that think you shouldn't be allowed in public, is their truth right? And we just sat there for a minute. And they said, well, I don't think that's true. And I said, so I just said, hey, I think it's really dangerous when people get to decide what's true. I think it's dangerous when mankind gets to look at what they want and decide what's true and what's not true. And again, it wasn't accusatory, it was a conversation, but I just said, hey, as I've studied, as I've looked, that's why I think that God's truth is best, why God's truth is right. And hey, Christian, why God's truth should be communicated in love, should be modeled in love. Because Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Now let me be clear. If you hear this and you're a Christian and you feel justified or you feel right, I want to challenge you that Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life so that people could come to God. So can I ask you, are you using the truth of Jesus to be right or to lead people to the righteousness that Jesus offers? No matter who they are, no matter how they look, no matter how they vote, no matter if they sound different than you. When it comes to the truth of Jesus, I know this is heavy because there's a lot of spiritual warfare around this. I know it. But hey, we don't hide from anything here. But when it comes to the truth of Jesus, I would suggest that we are all in very different places. Some of us have grown up in church. There's some people you gave your life to Christ today. There's some, like, we're all in different places. So I want to make our knowledge of Jesus very simple, like on the truth of Jesus, very simple, so that we can all be challenged today. So that no one can walk out today and not say, God, whatever you say, I will obey. So let me tell you how we're going to do it. There's a leader that I really like. His name's Patrick Lencioni, and he helps just with culture and things like that. And on one of his podcasts, he's helping leaders know how they can know themselves and their people best so they can lead well. And this particular episode was on if we know how we and other people come into a situation, then we can way better lead in that situation, be self-aware in that situation. And so he made it really simple. Now, this is going to create some tension in your heart, okay? And there's going to be some participation here in a moment, but it's to get you thinking, to get you involved, right? And so he said that everybody comes at situations either from ashamed, I could have done better, or from arrogant, what I did was great. So, I mean, think about you. Like when you think about an argument at home or a thing at work, do you come at it from ashamed? This is where I usually come from, ashamed. I could have done it better. I could have given more effort. I could have done something else. Or are you the type of person who comes at it more from an arrogant perspective? What I did was fine. I know nobody wants to be ashamed or arrogant. The language is meant to cause some tension in your heart, to drive some decisions in your mind. And so we're not just going to talk about it. We're going to be about it. I wonder how we feel whenever, how we are when it comes to the sharing the truth of Jesus. Do we feel more ashamed or do we feel more arrogant? And actually, we're actually doing a live poll right now. So get your phone out. And I want you to go to this QR code. And we did some tests there. And it's really simple. I want you to mark, or do you find yourself being more arrogant? I'm too confident in what I believe. Or do you find yourself being ashamed? I'm not confident enough in what I believe. And again, this is anonymous. Go ahead and throw it up there. We just want to see where all of our campuses are going to do this. And then we'll bring this back around as we go through this series. Do you find yourself, when you think about the truth of Jesus, more ashamed or more arrogant? All right, if you haven't done it, go ahead and do it. We'll come back to that. But we have to get to a place where we are confident in the truth of Jesus. Confident in sharing the truth of Jesus. Now, one of my heroes, somebody who is confident in the truth of Jesus, his name is Paul. And Paul won people to Jesus, and he started churches, and God used him to perform miracles that led people to Jesus. And he's just an amazing man of God. He's who I want to be when I grow up, right? But Paul tells about why he's so confident in the truth and why he lives such a powerful life, something that we have to get in Romans 1:16. And Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." It is the power, but listen to this. The tomb of what is truth is an attempt from the enemy, from the devil, to keep us from the power of the gospel that brings life to us and the world around us. That's why truth is being attacked. That's why the enemy wants us to be ashamed. That's why the enemy wants us to prioritize politics over people's salvation. Listen, this is such a massive deal. And I pray, I know we all feel challenged. I feel challenged, but I pray that you can see this where you can be excited about sharing the truth of Jesus, because that's what you're called to do. That's what I'm called to do. Now listen, the Bible is full of truth. It's full of lots of truths, whether it's about relationships or about stewardship, about finances, whatever. There's a lot of truth in the Bible. But if I said there was a foundational truth, the most important truth is that God wants an eternal relationship with his kids. That means the gospel, the good news that Jesus died on the cross to forgive our sins so that we can have a relationship with Jesus every day, now and in eternity, not someday, but today, is the most important thing in the whole Bible. Listen, and I bet there's a lot of Christians that you're thinking, yeah, man, I'm with you. I got you. I believe that Jesus is truth. That's why I'm here, brother. I believe it. But what am I going to do about all the people in my life that I love that don't believe it? How am I going to help them see the truth of Jesus? That's a great question. And one I pray that we don't forget about, but we think about every day. Listen, I really do believe there are answers to every question that the world has about Jesus. I really do, right? I promise. But today we are going to really focus our equipping of you and me. We're really going to focus on the best way. Now, we'll post on social media this week about just materials for you to better understand the truth of Jesus so you can share it. But today, we are going to hit the most important and the most consistent thing that you and I can do to prove and to point to and to share the truth of Jesus. And that's this: your testimony and your experience are two of the best evidences for the truth of Jesus. Let me say it one more time. Your testimony, your experience, not experience, your experiences that you're still having with Jesus are two of the best evidences for the truth of Jesus. So can I ask you, do you share your story? Can I ask you, do you share your experiences that you're still having with Jesus? Remember, Paul said that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. And I think that most of us, we would say that we're not ashamed of the gospel. But what about our life? What about our words? What about our bank account? What about our priorities? What about the stories we tell? Would they show that we're ashamed of the gospel of Jesus? I pray that today the power of your testimony would be unleashed on the world around you. There's power. There's truth in the story of our testimony. That's why it even says in Revelation 12:11 that we believers overcome the enemy, that's the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus' sacrifice, and the word of our testimony, the word of our testimony. So can I ask you, what lie, what tomb is keeping you from sharing? From sharing your testimony? I believe there's three major lies or tombs that have tried to shove the truth of Jesus away from, in our life, away from the people around us. I think there's three major ones. One, a lot of us have believed that you've blown it too bad. You've blown it too bad to share your story or your testimony and the truth of Jesus in it. Two, some of us believe it's too late. It's too late. I've been a Christian too long, or I've been in a relationship with these people for too long. It's too late for me to share it. Or three, maybe you just think, I just can't do it. There's obstacles in my way. I just can't find a way. I can't make a way. Can I just tell you, listen, those tombs cannot hold you. You're not shackled in. It's not holding you down. The door has been blown open by the power of Jesus. It's a matter of if we're going to walk out or not. So let's walk through those lies. The first one is you think you've blown it too bad to share the gospel of Jesus, to share your story. Let me read you a little verse. I love this verse, and it's vague on purpose because I want to tell you the story. But in John 4:39, it says that many Samaritans from that town believed in him, that's Jesus, because of the woman's testimony, the woman's testimony. Now, I need you to know that women in this time were not viewed the same as men. You know, in this time right here, that a woman's testimony wasn't even valid in court, right? Listen, look, nobody championed women before Jesus championed women. That's a different sermon, girl power, woohoo. But, listen, this woman, if she saw somebody get murdered and she wanted to testify, it didn't matter. So this woman must have been a boss if she goes in there and she's turned a whole town upside down with her testimony, right? She must have been Mother Teresa. She must have been somebody amazing. Some of y'all are shaking your head no, because you've read John chapter 4. She had five husbands already, and the guy that she was shacking up with right now wasn't her husband either. She was so ashamed in the town that she had to go out and draw water at the well on her own. But then she met the Messiah. But then she met the Savior. But then she met Jesus. She went out there for water, and Jesus gave her living water. She met Jesus, and she was forgiven. She was given identity. She was given hope. And she was given a testimony of forgiveness and life change and sent in the power of Jesus, and a whole town experienced revival. Listen, her story met Jesus and her story changed. It doesn't matter if you feel like, and I know I don't want to disregard, but listen, God's truth is over our feelings. If you think that you've blown it too bad to share the gospel, I need you to know that I know that you know that you can say that if you want, but God doesn't believe it. And it's not biblical, right? So the thought that you've blown it too bad is a lie. What about the second one? What about the second thing that tries to shove the truth of Jesus into a tomb in our life? And that is too late. It's too late. It's like, I've been a Christian for too long, or I've had this relationship with my wife or husband or kids or friend for too long, and I've never shared the gospel. I can't do it now. Let me read you a verse that I pray literally over you every day. And over the people that I've been witnessing to for 20 years now, I read this verse and I believe it. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you," this is important, "with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come into repentance." God doesn't want anyone to perish without repentance. So he is patient with me and with you so that they don't perish. He's patient with me and with you so that they don't, so that we would get off of our rear end and go get them and tell them about Jesus. He's patient with us so that they don't perish. Does that make sense? And again, he's patient with them too, and they need grace and we need grace. But listen, the lie, the tomb that it's too late, I need you to know that I know that God knows that that's not biblical. You know what I'm saying? That it doesn't matter how long it's been. It doesn't matter if they've seen you at your worst, because they probably have. That's part of the truth of your testimony. Listen, you nor anyone you meet is too far from God to receive God's grace. And that's the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. Hey, what about that last lie? That lie that I just can't do it. There's obstacles, Zach. I just can't do it. Well, hey, for this one, let's just do a testimony. Let's talk about the truth of the world being one to Jesus. A few weeks ago, I shared about a mom named Lacey who was being baptized, and her daughter, who is deaf, is watching her mom get baptized, and the mom is signing to her daughter what she's doing and what is going on in her life, right? Now, after Kid Steps, which is a class we do for kids who are interested in Jesus, and after Kid Steps and her parents, Lacey and Aaron, as they share the truth of Jesus with their daughter, who is deaf, but she's watching all this. She's experiencing this. As there were interpreters brought in, let me just show you what happened last weekend in this family. Let's watch this together. Guys, this is what an equipped Christ follower looks like. It looks like parents and students, young adults who are looking for who is next with the truth of Jesus. No matter the obstacle, no matter what inside you says, I can't, I just can't. God is saying you can and you must. And I made you to do it. And I would never bring you to something I wouldn't bring you through. Listen, if there's one truth, this Bible is full of truths, but if there's one truth ringing through eternity, it's that heaven and hell are real, and Jesus' salvation is what matters most. Recently, there was a revelation from one of our staff members, Blake Conley, who's the groups pastor at our Blunt campus, and we were at our all-staff meeting. We were about to worship, and he came up in his word for the year with his growth plan, his labor, and we were just talking, and he said, Zach, I had this revelation that heaven and hell, that they both have a common request. They have a common passion. And I was like, tell me what you mean. He said, well, in Matthew, which some of you may know this verse, in Matthew 9, 36 and 37, Jesus is looking out at the people and he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers out into the field. Send them out there. Send people. Go get them. And you would get that. You would get that heaven is passionate about that. But if I told you that hell, that there is a cry from hell that we go and share the truth of Jesus, you may say, I'm not so sure about that, Zach. Well, in Luke 11, there's a very unique passage where there's two men that die, a rich man and a poor man named Lazarus. And as far as in my biblical understanding, it's the only conversation we see between two humans, one who's went to heaven and one who's went to hell. And the rich man calls up to Abraham and Lazarus. He says, Abraham, please, would you send Lazarus down just with a drop of water for my tongue? I'm in agony down here. And Abraham says, I'm so sorry. There's a great chasm between us that cannot be crossed. There will be a day when it cannot be crossed. There will be a day when we can't share about the truth of Jesus. And he says, I'm so sorry. And then the rich man says, he doesn't say, okay, oh, that's it. He says, please, I have five brothers. Would you send Lazarus to tell my five brothers so that they don't end up here as well? Listen, if you could hear something from hell, it would be, please, God, send them. Please, God, would they go so that people don't end up here eternally separated from the love and the grace of God that we were made to live in. Will you step out of the tomb of what is truth into the power of life that comes with your testimony? And I know it's a weird place to do it. We've actually made these shirts for you to order online, and there's a couple different of them, just so that you can, we don't make any money off of them, just so that you can go and people can see this and they can ask you and you can tie it into your testimony that heaven and hell are the realest thing about eternity. And maybe you say, Zach, I don't have a testimony. Never given my life to Jesus. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You're right, I don't. But Jesus does. One of my favorite salvations in all of the Bible is when Jesus is dying on the cross. He's dying on the cross. And the thief next to him that deserved death tells Jesus that he believes in him. And Jesus, he's suffocating to death. He's beaten. He's battered. His beard's been pulled out. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. And I would like to tell you the truth that Jesus wants a relationship with you, and he wants you not just to be with him in paradise, but to be with him now, today. And there's hundreds of people that know it's time for you to start that relationship across the state of Tennessee. And we're going to do that right now. It says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you believe in your mouth that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the grave, you will be saved. So will you bow your head and close your eyes with me? Let's declare that right now. You don't pray alone. We're a family here. So let's pray. Say, Jesus, I know I've sinned, but I know you came and died on the cross to pay for my sins. You rose from the grave to offer me life. I receive life. I receive you as my Lord. You died for me, so I will live for you. With head still bowed and eyes still closed, if you made that decision this weekend, if you made that decision right now, we just raise your hand. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not doing anything weird. We just want to actually just put a little something in your hand. We just raise your hand high across all of our campuses. Come on, raise them high. Awesome. No shame here. Raise them high. Praise God. Awesome. 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 Faith Promise, can we celebrate with people who gave their life to Christ this weekend? Awesome. Awesome. Hey guys, we're going to enter into a time of response. And y'all felt this sermon, right? I was this week at an offsite with our executive team, and we were looking at our growth plans, and we were being honest with each other. Where do we need to grow? And unanimously, we all said we have to share our faith more. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the leaders of Faith Promise are saying we have to share our faith more. We have to have a burden. I bet we're not alone. Will you do what we did in this next time of worship? Maybe you need to come up front. We'll have a prayer team up front for anything that you need. Just ask the Lord for a burden. Hey, there's also these easels at all of our campuses. And what I want you to do is I want you to come up. I want you to write on there a name of somebody that you're asking God to bring out of their tomb at Easter or before. And whenever you write that name, you're going to experience ownership. Ownership. This is the purpose that God has given us, to win the world to Jesus. So will you be bold and put action to the burden that you feel? If you can't do it at church, there's no way we can do it where it's more important. We have to be able to do it here. Will you stand? Let's pray. God, we come before you right now, and I just pray that we would look more like you, Jesus. We don't want to be more religious. We don't want to be more right. God, we want to be more burdened. We want to be more broken. We want to be more passionate. We want to be more compassionate. We want to be more driven. We want to be more just hell-bent on the lost. God, going after people, praying with people, not caring if we get our hands or our hearts dirty, but just pursuing people. God, put us on mission. Put us on fire right now. God, if we need to make an altar our seat and apologize, let us do so. If we need to come forward for prayer for the prayer team, let us do so. Let everybody come and write a name on these easels. I pray we have to get new easels next week and put them all over all the campuses at Easter as we see hundreds or thousands saved. God, you're passionate about it. Are we? You are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. As the Holy Spirit responds, let's respond.